Blog Talk Radio.
Might be a little surprised because my voice is a little bit deeper than normally the guest that hosts the show. Sister Karima had a situation that she had to take care of, so I'm standing in right now for the, let me welcome you to the show, of course, the National Coalition of Women of Color in Construction. And today we have a pretty incredible show. We're going to be talking about health issues and stress. So we've got a couple callers on the line already. I'm waiting for Sister Henrietta the Healer to call in.
Here I am.
All right. Fantastic. Fantastic. Got a little nervous. We got a little nervous.
No. I'm here, and we're going to switch the topic just a little bit.
Okay. Fine. Fantastic.
That's okay. But we'll talk a little bit about stress, but our other, my partner, we were just looking at what's going on, and, you know, we're really into a very, very heavy political season right now. We've got our new president, and he has a very, very ambitious agenda.
Yeah.
And we thought maybe we should look at his health care agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And what's he, you know, what is he talking about, how it's going to impact us, and is there anything else we may want to add to that? So I hope we can do that this evening, get people engaged around healthcare and healthcare policy. And I'm a policy nut because I served in the Georgia legislature for 12 years, and a lot of my work was around healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking, in fact, I have in my hot little hands right now, I have the president's healthcare agenda.
Oh,
and there are a few things on here. I mean, looks, you know, looks great, but there's some things that I think, you know, he may need to add, and I'd love to hear from our listening audience what they think. And maybe we can ask them to, you know, identify themselves now, where they're from, and we'll get started.
Yes, ma'am, because we actually have a few callers on the line as we speak, so I'm going to go ahead on and bring those in right now. I'll bring the first caller in. Caller from area code 952. State your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, Mario and Henrietta. This is Michelle Mills from St. Paul, Minnesota. How you all doing?
Hi, Michelle.
I'm doing fine. So did you have some questions for Henrietta? I'm just a co-pilot. I'm just operating the switchboard or whatever. But welcome to the show. And
thank you.
I can engage in some lively discussion. I'm actually excited myself to kind of get a little education here on what's going on.
Well, thank you.
Well, actually, the best place to start is, you know, let's just define what public policy is, because so often we get really tied up in elections and, you know, go out and support our candidate, and then once the person gets elected, we say, okay, he or she can handle everything. That's not quite true. Once we're elected, we need a lot of help. And because every minute of our lives is controlled by public policy, somebody has made a law, rule, or regulation to tell us what to do from conception, really, until after they put us into the ground. And so it's incumbent upon us to know how that system works at the local, state, and federal level so that we can have some input into how we're being taken care of and what we're told to do. So that's the bedrock. Everything we do, from, you know, having babies, to going to school, to getting a job, workers' compensation, everything is covered by public policy and some law, rule, or regulation. But we can have some great input into it if we just understand the system.
Great. Caller from 952, did you have a question for our host today?
Hi, Mario. Not right now. I think as Henrietta continues to speak on this issue, I think what I'll do throughout the show is chime in with my feedback and thoughts, those types of things.
Great. Okay, well, then we'll just have you on standby. We've got another caller. Caller from area code 219. Let me check, I got that right. 219. State your name and where you're calling from, please.
Maggie Freeman from Gary, Indiana.
Hello, Ms. Freeman. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Welcome to the show. And
Thank you.
I guess you heard the topic, so we're just opening up the lines. Do you have any questions for the host today?
Not right this minute. I'll just, you know, listen in, and if I have any feedback, then I'll, you know, ask the questions at that particular time.
Okay, fantastic. We'll go to another caller. Caller from area code 651. State your name and where you're calling from.
Janora from Minnesota.
Minnesota. Okay.
Yeah.
Ms. Janora, how are you doing today? Welcome to the show.
How are you doing today? I just love the show.
Oh, incredible, incredible, incredible. Today's, are you aware of today's topic, Ms. Henrietta? We're going to talk about health issues and stress, but Ms. Henrietta decided to broaden the palette a little bit and talk about some of the new health care issues that, bills that President Obama is putting into practice. So did you have any questions at this time for our guests?
No, I'm just going to chime in when able.
Okay. Well, we got people on standby ready to go. We got two more callers. Let me bring out the next caller and call us from area code 678. State your name and where you're calling from.
Henrietta, my name is Nancy Williams, and I'm actually I just got a call from Janet. I guess you were looking for Janet to be on the show this evening.
Right.
Okay, they just called me and told me to do the, I guess.
The announcement.
Mm-hmm. The announcement. So I come on to do the announcement, and I'll be able to sit on for a minute, but then I also have another engagement. But it does sound very interesting. I'm really, this is actually the area that I operate in, so I would be interested in knowing, when you guys do more of these radio blogs for on health and wellness.
Oh, that is so wonderful. That's great. Well, since you have to go, why don't you give the announcement now?
Okay. Well, my name is Nancy Williams, and I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, and I have a healing center called First Fruit Natural Healing Home. And this weekend, we're having a January the 31st, we're having a Holistic Showcase 09. And that is a showcase to showcase. I have seven other practitioners that work for me. And we have live demonstrations this weekend on cooking and raw foods, vegetarian and vegan. We have massage therapy and body wraps and ear conings, detox foot baths and detox programs, and some of it we can. I know we have callers from all over the country right now, but I just want to say that if you know anybody in the Atlanta area, or if you want to come yourself, that we would love to have you this weekend for the Holistic Showcase. And I can be reached at 770-484-4745 or 678-481-9658, but it is a holistic showcase to be able to get your questions answered or anything that you might have of concern. So I appreciate you guys letting me come on the line and do that, and I look forward to actually doing some radio coming on and listening to some of the health and wellness programs that you have.
Okay, just for your information, just to let you know, this show airs every Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I'm sure that the host would be more than happy to allow you to come in, because I think this is a challenging issue that that we're confronting, and the more information that we have, the better it'll equip us to move through our life in a more healthier sound, with a more healthier sound body, mind, and soul. So definitely that'll be the time. You have the number, so hopefully we'll hear from you again next week, and you can interject some more of your wisdom and let us know what options we have out there.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Caller from 770, state your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, my name's Nicole Scott. My company is Giovanna Constructors, and I'm here in the Atlanta area.
Okay, fine. Did you hear the topic for the day, or?
I'm sorry, I just called in. I'm looking online now at the topic, though.
I apologize. Okay, well, no, it's okay. It shifted a little bit more to some of the new healthcare plans that our new president is rolling out. So they were going to speak on that. I guess they're going to touch on a couple of things. Ms. Henrietta, you want to just go ahead on and give her a brief overview of kind of what you're talking about?
Okay. Well, what we're talking about today is, you know, we're into this, just so feeling so wonderful. We have a new president, and he has taken on a lot. And we thought it would be good to look at what he is saying about healthcare and how we can play a role with that, because all of us want to have optimal health. And all of us, I mean, I know I feel that the government should support what I'm trying to do, even if it may not be what other people want to do. And we know that there's been a lot of resistance to alternative and complementary medicine. And hopefully, because our president is really such a health nut, hopefully we'll be able to get over some of those hurdles so that our insurance companies will pay for such things as colonics, as massage, nutritional consultation, raw food classes, different things that will put us on the path to good health without invasive procedures such as cutting, burning, and, you know, really putting us through a lot of trauma. And essentially, my health philosophy is that the body is designed to heal itself. If we look at a newborn, I mean, that's the height of wellness for most of our babies. They're perfect. They're perfect. And then it goes downhill from there. And most of the downhill is because of what we do ourselves. And so how do we get government to understand that we can take care of ourselves and we need the support of government to do that?
Mm-hmm.
And I also talked about, you know, what public policy is. And so can anybody tell me who controls health care in these United States?
The government, really, the regulations.
Well, kind of, but there are some institutions that really control health care.
You're talking about the pharmaceuticals?
That's right. That's
yes.
One.
Yeah.
And then there's another.
The doctors?
Mm-mm, they don't control it. Okay, tick, 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 tick. It's the insurance companies.
Yes,
wow.
You're right.
Insurance companies and the pharmaceutical companies control health care in America. And what has happened as a result of that? What has happened as a result of their control of health care? We have a mess. We have a mess. We have millions of people who don't have health care. Even the way, you know, the fractured system that it is now. Millions of us don't have health care. And those of us who want to do something different are not given the opportunity to do that. So as I look at our president's agenda for health care, we know, and he says that there are two extremes. We have government-run health care with higher taxes, or the insurance companies operating without rules and regulations. And so both extremes are not good for the woman on the street. And so basically the Obama-Biden team is looking at making it more flexible so we can choose the type of health care we want for ourselves and for our employees and for our families. And but as I look at this, and they do talk a little bit about prevention, but the prevention that they have in mind is mostly testing, screening, doesn't say anything here about food or massage or any kind of those types of therapies. One of the great things about our president, though, is that he is open to suggestion. And this may be an issue that's a burning issue for you, that you will say, look, I'm going to send the president and the vice president an email to let them know how I feel about healthcare in America and to give some suggestions. Now, you may say, what kind of suggestions can I give? One area that is just really, really, really out of control is children's health care.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know, you know, at least most of us consider that we are what we eat. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Definitely.
Okay, we are what we eat. And when we look at how the lobbyists control food distribution, food preparation, and really monopolize what is going to our children in their schools, it's not a pretty picture. It's not a pretty picture. But I have a good friend who lives in DeKalb County. She is a principal, and she took all the sugar out of her school. I don't know if anybody's heard about her.
Heard about her.
Yeah, Yvonne Sanders Butler.
Yeah.
She took the sugar out. And what happened? The test scores for all of her children went up.
Mm-hmm.
The attention span increased. Obesity decreased. And it became a community-wide project where parents were involved and other people in the community and actually saw a difference in the community in terms of the chronic diseases. Now, you would think that the county school board would just be so pleased with this that they would make it an official policy of the school system to take the sugar out of all of the schools, take the drinks out, so that the children could learn. What do you think happened?
Business as usual.
Exactly. Business as usual. And so what can be a remedy to that?
Well, I think information, just the fact that, because I've been taking some notes, and this is Mario. I've been taking some notes, and I think basically going back to the mindset of the village and then mirroring these innovators who have come up with these ideas, I would like to know kind of like what type of process it was for her to be able to implement this. And then I think also little small things like us understanding, you know, just getting back to like when we used to pack our kids' lunch and send them to school and different things like that, and really assuming some degree of responsibility for what they're eating and then monitoring that and educating them on what the outcome can be of these fast food, high sugar, high sodium diets, and then allowing them to see the difference after they do implement, you know, after these situations are implemented. And just being able to pass the word on from there, because if we have a working model, I just think that we have a point of reference that we can kind of build off of from there. And basically what you're saying, too, is and it's good that we do have a president, but if we have a situation that's going on right here in the city, I think that it would be imperative for us to take a more proactive stance and try to implement that in our homes, because that's where it's going to start. You know what I mean? I think it is great that we have an incredible and intuitive president, but he can't reach out to everybody all at once. So I think we need to start building from the inside out. And I think that also is a more cohesive plan, like you were saying, to write the president about, but to say, okay, well, in this particular school district, these many schools have implemented this type of health program, and these are the results. These are the test scores. These are, you know what I mean? Coming with some hard facts and documentation that will allow him or the powers that be to go forth with this documentation and set it in front of whoever needs to see it from that point on and get the ball rolling.
Well, I think you're exactly correct. And fortunately, Dr. Sanders Butler has written a book called Healthy Kids, Smart Kids. And this information is in her book. She also has a website.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, anybody can go to the website or get the book, and she's available to speak. And I've seen her Recently, she's in more and more publications because people are getting it about needing to really be proactive.
What is the website address?
The website, let me look at it here. It's, I have her book in front of me. But you know what? Let me just Google her, and I'll give
okay.
that to you in a minute. I'll do that.
And what was the name of the book again?
The book is Healthy Kids, Smart Kids.
Healthy Kids, Smart Kids.
And it's the principal created, parent tested, kid approved, nutrition plan for sound bodies and strong.
Okay, great. And while you're doing that, I got another caller to bring in. Caller from area code 404. State your name and where you're calling from. 404, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Michelle Chiama with Charitable Connections. How are you all this evening?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm glad to hear the information, Henrietta. We have a health and wellness initiative over here in the Adamsville community in Atlanta where we're doing every Tuesday, we are doing Live, Learn, and Lunch with the seniors, and we're expanding it into the with the youth. And we actually know about the principal. She's been guiding us on some of the
fall.
We're taking into the schools this next year, hopefully. So I'm excited about what you all are talking about. We've been proactively doing this for 3 years now. And we've actually been hosting grocery store tours to teach people about reading labels and the impact of utilizing fat back in cooking. And it's been quite an interesting proposition in bringing the awareness level up in people's lives.
What has been the results so far, like as you know, what have you noticed within these in this particular group that you've implemented this process, and how has it been conducive to your members?
Well, what's happened is that we are training the women how to cook as part of this series, and they have seen impacts in their families because now it's emanating from the homes, which is where it really needs to start. They're teaching their children about proper eating practices and proper cooking. And so we've seen, you know, some weight loss. We've seen some issues with disease go away among seniors that had diseases. We have in the neighborhood that I live in over 300 people a week going into the dialysis clinic.
Unbelievable.
And it all can be avoided. All of it can be avoided through teaching some basics. Now, the other thing that we're doing is, and I don't know if you're aware of the farm policies and the lack of investment in agriculture in the state of Georgia, and I'm sure it's all over the country too, but because farm policies have changed over the years, they have been changing the DNA of plant structure, so even if in organic food, if they're not buying the proper seeds, then the food that we're getting that's organic doesn't have the proper DNA structure, so we're not getting the proper nutrients. And we're learning about that. We've partnered with Fort Valley State University on a project here with the USDA of creating urban farms, and we're working with scientists to understand the plant structure so that when we're putting in these urban gardens, we're actually dealing with the DNA of what's being produced.
Does that lend itself to basically soil composition and different things? Because I know the seeds are important, but I also know that the soil composition plays a role in that as well.
Absolutely. I mean, the process for organic food in the soil composition, a lot of people have worked on over the years, so it's a very common practice for the soil. But what has not been understood is the plants and where the seedlings are coming from. So we're dealing with that issue on top of utilizing standard, you know, process for the growing. But we're bringing kids in from the youth detention centers, from the criminal court system, and they're actually working on a farm in West End, Atlanta. We trained on how to be farmers, and it's an interesting experience. We also have the alternative school use over 2 hours a week to be trained on organic farming.
Is there a number where we can...
That's what I was just going to ask for.
Well, if you all want to contact me, I'll be happy. I'm not at liberty to give out Dr. Bright's phone number right now, but I can give you mine, and then if you all want to call, I can get him to contact you all.
Yeah, please do that. That'd be great.
My number is 404-274-2406. That's 404-274-2406.
And the name again, just for our listeners, just in case they came in late.
Charitable Connections, my name is Michelle Uchiyama.
Michelle
is fine.
Okay. Fantastic.
Michelle, I have a question. This is Nancy Williams, and I have a question. Have you guys been keeping up with where you can get the organic seeds? Because I noticed that a lot of the sites that used to be able to sell the organic seed, they're shutting down. So do you have some places that you can get some that still haven't been too much affected by what's going on with the legislation?
I know that Dr. Bright does and Fort Valley State University does. They are very much up on where to get the seed, and I'm sure that we could get you that information.
Okay, I'll just call you. I did take your number down, so I'll just call you and get the information.
Really, at some point in time, it would be great to have them on one of the shows to share some more detailed information. I'm sure they would be willing to do that if you all wanted to get depth on it.
Well, yeah, I think that'd be a great idea.
This is a great example of the effect of public policy on an important aspect of our lives. I mean, who said it's okay to genetically modify seeds? You know, who did that?
Ted Turner and Bill Gates.
You know, and how are they allowed to continue to do it? There has to be some kind of public policy, some legislation, something going on.
Well, there's another gentleman that needs to come into the conversation at some point in time. His name is Gary Waters, Chef Boy Heidi. There's some very interesting stuff going on from a public policy perspective of trying to get the pharmaceutical companies to have a captive market, essentially, for any vitamins and nutrients.
Right. Exactly.
And that's something that we really need to be active on from a public policy standpoint, because they're slowly but surely eroding our rights away and the free market rights away through the FDA. And we need to keep tabs on it.
That's right. I know when I was in the legislature, there was federal legislation to really outlaw small companies selling nutritional supplements. And it's not a pretty picture. It's not a pretty picture because when we look at, the pharmaceutical companies, it's big business, and they don't care. That's the big thing. They do not care. And, of course, that can go into another area that I have an interest in, and that's the whole area of clinical trials. Medicines are being approved for the general public, and we're not there in terms of how is this going to affect us, because we are not participating by design in clinical trials. There was a report issued in April by Baylor University about the dismal state of affairs in terms of clinical trials. At no level are minorities and women participating at the level that they should. And billions of dollars are spent on clinical trials every year. I did a little research, and went to WebMD and just in the search box put clinical trials. And there were hundreds of them where various entities are recruiting people to participate in clinical trials. Now, if I didn't know, you know, if I didn't have an interest, I wouldn't have known that. And, of course, we do not have a very pleasant history in terms of clinical trials. But increasingly, our folks are taking more medicine. I mean, you go to the drugstore, there's a line.
Mm-hmm.
And we're taking drugs that may not be compatible with our genetic makeup. So that's another public policy piece that has to be dealt with. Who is controlling these clinical trials? What's happening is there's more heat on the pharmaceutical companies, so they're taking their trials offshore, going into different countries where people may not be as knowledgeable about what's going on, and doing their clinical trials there and somehow working with the FDA or whomever to make those results okay for those of us here. So that's a big problem, particularly given the increasing level of chronic health conditions in our community. We are the captive audience, and doctors prescribe all kind of stuff for us. And the issue of dialysis, when I say to people, you don't have to, you know, drink some water. It's as simple as drinking water. But we're not taught this. And the state of health care has an effect on everybody on this call. It may affect them personally, their family, their employees. We can't run viable businesses if we can't get healthy employees, if they're always sick or suffering from one of these preventable chronic diseases. So what can we do about it on a personal and professional level?
Right. I have a, another caller call on the line. Caller from area code 330. State your name and where you're calling from.
Yes, my name is Robert Porter. I'm from Akron, Ohio, and I was just listening in today just to hear what was going on and a lot of good information. So I'll just continue to listen until something sparks my interest a little higher where I can speak on it. But I'm really enjoying the show today.
All right. And in your area, let me just ask you a question, sir. You sound like a mature gentleman. Just off the cuff, how many people do you know in your immediate circle that are on some type of medication?
Okay, repeat that again. I'm sorry.
How many people do you know in your immediate circle that are on some type of medication?
Oh, everybody but me. I try to stay away from medicine because I know what it'll do to the liver. My mother suffers from dementia, so she's on Aricept and a couple other drugs. But at the same time, like I said, everything I'm hearing today is a fact. We go to the doctor gives us the medicine, we go home, take the medicine, and there's no other remedy. Nobody says, well, okay, doc, I need another remedy because I don't want to take this medicine.
Right.
Nobody ever asked that question. I probably would say 75% of the people take the medicine, go fill the prescription, and keep going. But at that rate, we're making the drug company filthy rich. The doctor feels like his practice is going well because we don't make him research anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And the insurance company is happy that we got insurance if we have insurance.
Yeah, and not only that, I just want to interject this because I take a lot of supplements myself, but what I find very, very disturbing about a lot of these medicines, and they put it out there, is like even when they advertise on TV, if you have a symptom, you can take this particular medication for it. But then there's 10 or 15 side effects. I mean, you ever saw those commercials? Oh, here, take this. But if you take it, you might want to commit suicide. I mean, you might want to do this. It's like about 10 side effects that you have to deal with in order to take this medication. Then what happens is, because I know people, they have to take another medication to offset that medication, and then another, and then before you know it, I mean, it's just like, it's just a mess.
Yeah, before you know it, you need a liver transplant because now your liver's gone or your kidneys are shot.
And then now, you know, then you're right back in the system and they're getting paid off of you again. So, I mean, it's just an amazing spiral of consequences that we seem to be trapped in. But anyway, let me get off my soapbox. I got another
actually, I'm sorry. Go ahead and introduce your caller because I wanted to chime in a little bit about what you just talked about.
Okay, a caller from area code 510. State your name and where you're calling from.
I'm calling from California. My name is Destiny. I was calling because my good sister Karima gave me a call and said you need to call in today.
Hey, Destiny, how you doing? This is Mario.
Hey, I'm good.
Yeah, the subject is about health care and medication, and we just been really getting some great information here, and I just had one of our participants on the line that wanted to chime in. Carla, go ahead on in.
Yeah, Mario, what you were talking about as far as the advertisements and all the side effects, I'm glad you brought that out because for the last couple years or so, I don't know exactly if it was 2 or 4 years or so ago when they started specifying the side effects, and that was really baffling for me because for years medications have been on the market, and oftentimes, you know, because it's a prescription drug, the doctor would explain the side effects, you know, because every patient is different. I mean, the same side effects, well, in other words, one patient may experience one thing, someone else could experience another. I still didn't quite understand why that became the norm to list all the side effects. I know I watched a Gardasil commercial, a medication for women in their reproductive years to help prevent cervical cancer or something like that. And it just went on and on about all these side effects, and it scared me. I thought, well, what good is that going to do? But, yeah, does anyone out there, was there some public policy thing, or I don't know how that came into being because it's still a mystery to me why they started doing that.
Well, I think it came out of litigation where people, you know, they were taking medication, they didn't know what to look for, and they were, you know, family members were dropping dead. There were just horrible things happening. And allegedly, a person, you know, if you know what the side effects are, you can decide whether you want to take it or not. But invariably, people just go along with whatever the doctor says.
This is Nancy Williams. Can I just chime in on what you were just saying? Owning the Healing Center, I've had it for 2 years. And what I find is by the time that most people get to the Healing Center, they have been in the medical, going to the doctors, the hospitals for years and years, just doing what they've been told to do. And they've come to a point where, hello?
Hold on.
I'm here.
Caller, if you guys can mute. If you're doing something like folding paper or getting out of your car, you can just mute your phone until that process is clear, because we got some valuable information going on, and we'd appreciate it if you could just kind of keep your
my
mind
apologies.
Quiet while we have it. No problem. Go ahead, Carla.
And by the time they get to me, and they've gotten all of these side effects from a lot of the drugs that they have been taking, and they don't and they've continued to take it over time and over time. Well, by the time they get to me, they're at a place where they are at a trying to make a decision on whether they want to take responsibility for themselves, because that's what it really comes down to. Because when you go to the doctor, and I'm not saying that we don't need the medical field in some form or fashion, but when you leave it all up to them to take responsibility for your health, then they, it's just like everybody, you come in with a certain symptom, and they'll treat the symptoms of it and not really get to the root of the problem. And so it's important and imperative that people start researching their own bodies, because you know you the best. And I tell people, you are the one that you're looking for. You know, you're the one that's going to be able to determine if something is working for you or not working for you. And if it's not working, then you need to try something else, but not depend on somebody else to give it to you all the time. You have to sit and do your own research so that you can make some good decisions about your own health. And so I think it's a matter of really taking responsibility and researching yourself, and that's where I feel that a lot of people lack the knowledge. And even with sorcery, we hear that in the Bible all the time. That is pharmaceuticals. The people are deceived by pharmaceuticals. And so it's time to take a little bit of responsibility for that.
Well, me and Harriet were talking about this when she had talked to me Monday. Well, I think a lot of this also is kind of rooted psychologically in tradition, where at a certain age we almost considered, some of us considered a rite of passage to get on some type of medication. It's almost like it's ingrained in our psyche that this is what we need to do at this point in time, because everybody else is on high blood pressure medicine, or everybody else is on this type of medicine. So we have almost been conditioned coming up through our lives to get ready, to prepare, to get on some type of medication. And I think also that what really needs to be important, even more so than, I mean, the research is definitely imperative, but I think instilling a new mindset into each one of us that we do have an option other than just, you know, basically doing whatever we're going to do to our bodies and then going to the doctor and putting chemicals. And I think this is where these reactions come from, because basically these are like processed chemicals that we are putting in our natural organic element. So there's a conflict right there, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times the body is basically, like what we were saying before, the body is, if the right supplements, the body has the right supplements, it's basically conditioned to heal itself in most instances. But when we start putting certain chemicals in our body that don't coincide with the natural makeup of our body, it can offset certain chemicals that are actually in our body, and then therein lies a conflict, and it could just, I mean, because some of these chemicals actually destroy certain vitamins and nutrients and amino acids that the body uses as building blocks or repairing blocks naturally. And so in that way, it's almost detrimental to our health. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but and you notice that what you were just saying about being able to use the supplements and different things that are in alignment that go with our body, people can't see the measurement of that. And so when you're talking about preventive measures, they can't, and you're doing things to prevent things, they think, well, it's not really, if anything, working. I don't need to do this. You know, I don't have that problem. So you're really conditioned to have a problem before you do anything.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, this has been exciting, I tell you. And it's something that we need to think about. It's something, because people, I had a good friend of mine, she went to the doctor, and before she knew it, they put a shunt in her arm. And I said, Well, do you need, you know, dialysis? No, they were just putting it in because they knew I would need it, and so they were going to put it in while I was there. What are you talking about? What are you talking
mm-hmm.
about?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, they're rubbing their hands together as she comes through the door. Oh, here's another one.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes.
It's very disheartening. very, very disheartening what's going on. And we're just like sheep. We look at the proliferation of drugstores in our community. I mean, in some places, there's one on every corner.
Yes.
As bad as the liquor stores. As the kids would say, what's up with that?
Well, I think, Harry, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, Harry, Henrietta, I just thank you for allowing me to be on your show. This is Nancy Williams again, and I am going to have to go at this time, but I have truly enjoyed it, and I wish I could actually stay on the call a little bit longer, but I have to go right now. But if anybody wants to come out to the Holistic Showcase this weekend, just feel free to call the numbers that I gave you, and you reach me directly, and I will share the information with you. So thank
okay,
you so much.
Okay, that's wonderful, and thank you. Thank you so much for calling in.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right.
Thank you, Mario.
You're welcome. Bye.
Okay, is Miss Adama available?
Cool.
She said she would be.
Let's see here. We got 330 still on the line, 651-952, and 347.
Okay. That's
you, right?
Yep.
And then we have another caller up top here, area code 404. State your name and where you're calling from, or is that, I don't know, the switchboard got a little funny on me right here. Do we have another caller on the line from 404? Okay. All right. So Henrietta, I know that you wanted to interject about policy in here, but you also are involved in an organization that that does have one preventative measure that can be implemented into our diet right away. Could you just give us kind of like a brief overview of your company and what it does and how it affects and helps the body?
Okay, then. Well, thank you so much. And you know, you and I really didn't have a chance to talk that much about it, but I am involved with a water company. It's called Enagic, and we have a water-generating device that transforms tap water into clean alkaline water. Now, as you know, I got involved in looking at how the body works. The body, and especially you look at a newborn, the newborn has the perfect pH in her body. Everything is balanced as nature designed it. And what happens is that as we grow, our parents give us food that causes the body to be acid. And it's when we're in an acidic state that disease can step in. No disease can survive in an alkaline environment. And so we've got to start processing our water. Our tap water contains pharmaceutical products. Everything gets dumped into the water. Every day there is a newspaper article, something on the internet, something on TV about the dismal state of water in the world, not just the United States, not just in Africa, India, the entire world. The water is not good because so much industrial waste, so much farm waste, so much residential waste is going into the water, killing the water, and setting up the situation for us not to be healthy. And so with this device, it generates from your faucet seven different kinds of water that do different things to help the body return to a pH balance state, thereby facilitating the body to heal itself. The water doesn't, you know, we can't say, and the water doesn't heal, but it facilitates the body healing itself. And I've got experiences myself in terms of what the water has done for me. Mm-hmm. And we've got to be serious. We've got to be serious. And another thing that's a focal point for me, given the economic situation, which, you know, we don't have to buy into that, we need to weave our own safety net. We look to government to have a safety net for us. We look to the church or whatever. And all of these other safety nets have big holes in them. And our community, if we were a country, if black people were a country, we would be like the fifth richest country in the world. We do have money. We have money.
Mm-hmm.
But what are we doing with it? Are we supporting black businesses? That's why I'm so excited about this organization. Let's support each other. But back to the water. I can go on, and I can give you the website for the water. Mm-hmm. It's www.thewatertruth.com/Henrietta. Now, Gloria, I don't know. Gloria, are you on? She said she would be on. But anyway, Gloria is also involved in this. And I love it. I feel better. And it's particularly good for all of us. But for all of us, it's good for all of us. But I have mm-hmm. found that it helps, you know, women who are over 50, you know, going through the change to balance out hormones and just live better. We've had people's cancer go into remission. I myself had a 30-pound weight loss. It just dropped.
Mm-hmm.
It just dropped because the molecular structure of the water is changed. It's made microcluster, so when you drink it, it goes directly into the cells, taking nutrients into the cells and pulling waste products out of the cells, and we have like 73 trillion cells. And so with the body working the way it should and putting good nutrition in there, you're not going to be fat. You know, the body is going to, you know, move stuff out. And for years I took nutritional supplements, but I really don't take them now because I eat live food, organic food. I don't cook that much because when you cook food, you kill the food.
Mm-hmm.
And we insist on putting dead food into a live body. And we wonder why we have problems.
Mm-hmm.
We need to cut out Miss Piggy. And
yes.
Miss Moo,
mm-hmm.
leave them alone.
Right.
Because it's one thing when we were living on the farms and we saw Miss Piggy when she was born. We watched Miss Piggy grow up. We fed Miss Piggy. Then we killed Miss Piggy and we ate her.
Right.
But now we don't know where this meat is coming from.
Yes.
We don't know how old it is. I mean, they're huge storage facilities. I mean, a pork chop might be in the freezer for years. And then we know our community gets the worst food.
Right.
So what do, you know, come on. So I'd love to talk with anyone, and I'm sure Gloria would too, about our water system. I'm in Brooklyn right now, but Friday morning I'll be flying to Atlanta. I'm going to move back to Atlanta. And I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission around health and community vitality.
And I think it's actually critical because now I lived in L.A. for Los Angeles, California, for 20 years. And I guess because of the climate or whatever, health is more of an issue out there. I mean, far as environment, I mean, there's places that there's class ordinances where, I mean, you cannot smoke, and mostly in anywhere you go, pretty much in an inside area where food is being served, or even inside a club, you can't smoke. There are pretty much like health clubs, just like all over the place. There's just a greater emphasis on health. I mean, vitamin stores and everything. Now, I'm saying all that to say when I relocated back out here to the South, I found kind of like almost the opposite in the way that, you know, we're still kind of like rooted in traditional eating habits and thinking habits as far as our diets go. And for some reason, I think probably the greatest detriment in all of this is that we look upon eating healthy as some type of negative sacrifice that we have to make for this is just going to make us miserable if we eat like this and stay healthy instead of eating, you know, whatever we want and then winding up on medication, dialysis, and all of these other things. And I'll give you a great example. Even in, like, amongst some of the people that I knew in California that probably weren't as healthy, like, I had, at one point, I had, like, 3 gym memberships, and I probably paid, like, maybe $65 to $70 a month for my gym memberships. And I won't even say I paid $70. I'll say I invested $70 because I really enjoyed working out. And so they would tell me, man, that's a lot of money to spend. So we sat down one day and calculated if they wanted to go out on Friday, between Friday and Sunday, how much would they spend on an outfit, going to the barbershop or the beauty parlor, dinner, drinks, and everything. And most of them spent pretty much on Friday and Saturday more than I spent in a month going to the gym. And I could pretty much go to the gym anytime I wanted to or whatever. And I think it's just the mindset, or even, you know, people say, well, I don't really want to be tied to a contract of $50, $40 a month. But I just think that it's the mindset of understanding, well, I mean, you're going to spend that much, you know, going to McDonald's in a month. You know what I mean? So, but to have a facility where you could actually go in and kind of like take control over your health, your blood pressure, and all of that, I think is an investment. And I think, like, it goes back to this mindset. And I think that that's probably the least expensive thing that we can invest in is our mindset, a different approach to looking at how we treat our bodies, or, you know, how we mistreat our bodies. How about that? And that doesn't cost anything. All you got to do is basically sit down, look at the condition and your health, and make a decision. One day, it could just be something smaller, you know, okay, all right, today I'm going to stop putting maybe I ain't going to put as much pork in my greens as I normally do. And then eventually ease off, and then, okay, maybe I'll put some turkey in there. And just, you know what I mean, really just understanding that we initially have the tools that we need to make the decision. See, I mean, like on a grander scale, like you said, we have to move as a cohesive unit to make major changes. But as individuals, we have the capacity built in us right now, right here, today, to start making decisions about our health. So I just wanted to interject.
Well, I appreciate that. And I've been around young people who are obese. They have 5 different sizes of clothes in their closet. And they will tell me, I don't even think about my health. I said, well, you know what? That's all I think about.
Mm-hmm.
I was stunned. And clearly the person was not well.
No,
did not look well.
Mm-hmm. The state of health now, even with the kids, because it goes back to, and it goes back to something as insignificant as going outside to play. I mean, now everybody wants to sit up,
and play their little video games and talk on the cell phone and watch cable. I mean, the other day I had a flashback. I think I was over at my sister's house in Atlanta, and she has this hill, and you know, that comes past her house. And I was like, man, if I was 10 years old, I would be riding my bike down that hill 100 miles an hour. And you just don't really see kids out playing, riding their bikes, or none of that stuff anymore. They just stuck in the house, on the couch, playing video games, eating processed food. And I think that this is a situation that like, we as parents need to start addressing. Got to get them out there, man, and do something with them, because what's going to happen is, and what's happening is these health issues are taking effect in them even sooner now than what they were. I mean, you have kids, teenagers, that are basically on medications for stuff that they should be taking, if they're going to be on med, they should be taking it well into their late 30s or 40s or something. But here they are, I ain't even out of high school, and they're taking it. So I think, like I said, one of the things that we have direct control over right now, right here today, is our thought process. And that being said, I'm going to go ahead on and bring in another caller. Caller from area code 678. State your name and where you're calling from. Caller from 678. We actually have two callers from 678, but they're still on the same line. Oh, that's pretty amazing. 678, are you there? Okay, well, maybe they just want to hold on. Area code 330, state your name and where you're calling from. 330, are you there?
Yes, this is Robert Porter. I had to call, had to hang up and call back because I had another call. So I'm still listening.
Okay, all right. Do you have anything else that you wanted to add? What do you think to we had some pretty good suggestions or some pretty good observations the last time you had talked. So.
Well, like I said, I'm enjoying the show, and I enjoy hearing people from different places, because I'm from, you know, Cleveland, Ohio, Akron, Ohio, and, you know, it's definitely good to hear other people concerned about the things that go on in the world today. So I'm just enjoying the show every week, and like I said, we got to just keep on doing this, because if we keep doing this and keep networking like this, then this is how we have a movement that will make a difference in this United States.
Definitely.
Mario, this is Michelle from Minnesota. I just wanted to chime in real quick about your statement about the problems with young people. And as I was listening to you and Henrietta talk about exercise and those type of things, I was thinking about why kids have these kinds of problems and why both young people and adults are so sedentary. And there's a couple of things I remember seeing over the years. A lot of schools, for one, discontinued physical education, or gym, as they call it, where kids were able to be active and have time to exercise, those type of things. And what I'm seeing, even here in Minnesota, a lot of schools have cut out gym programs. They just sit all day in class, and, you know, I mean, it's good that they learn, but they don't really have that kind of break. And then by the time those kids get home, they're so tired from just sitting, you know, in a certain position, especially in those hard, uncomfortable chairs. And it's so easy for them to go home, and, you know, the couch is very comfortable, it's relaxing, and, you know, they want to sit on the couch or get in the bed. I mean, I think a lot of young people not so much want to sit down on the couch and maybe watch video games. I know when I was growing up, I would be so tired from sitting in class all day, then I had to ride a bus home, which took me almost an hour to get home, and I just wanted to get in the bed. And the problem is, a lot of people, even adults too, the first thing they want to do is snack or eat something when they get home from school or work, and then they want to lie down and go to sleep for a while. Mm-hmm. And so that's, I think, a really big problem, is we have to re-educate ourselves. the basics of just not being so quick to lie down and go to sleep after eating, because the food need time to digest. Also, too, parents that work full time, a lot of times they have desk jobs where they're sitting all day, and it's the same dilemma. They get home, they're really tired, snack or eat dinner quick, and they'll want to take it easy, sit on the couch or lie down, fall asleep. And people wonder, man, where? How did I gain this weight so fast? You know, because I saw that happen with me. I noticed when I was working in corporate America, I'd be working, you know, 8-10 hour days, you know, sitting. And I mean, even though I would get around and walk around, I would notice over time those pounds really picked up because I wasn't active enough. And I think one big thing that needs to change is for businesses to have exercise facilities on campus, or really it would be nice for employees to have more time during their lunch hour or their break time to walk around and do things. I think the problem is so many people are under the gun at work so much. They work through lunch. A lot of them, they don't eat breakfast in the morning, which is the most important meal of the day. So there really isn't a balance in work and exercise and health, that kind of thing. So I've seen a huge decline over the years as far as how people care for themselves. I think people, to some degree, they're cognizant of it, but they feel that they can't really do much about it because there's not enough time. And I think the key is just really making time, being more proactive by planning your meals, making sure you eat breakfast. And if you do have a break, you know, use that break to walk around or exercise if there's a facility on the campus, that kind of thing. But I think it's just a matter of not, like you said, mindset and really switching gears to thinking toward that direction.
Yeah, I think, like, for instance, for me, when I decided that I was going to really start becoming physically active, I started doing the research. And you know what it is that making the time, because believe we all say that there's not enough time, but we all seem to make the time to do the things that we want to do. Somehow or another, we get that in. So I think it's about really prioritizing. Like, for instance, for me, if I could, like, I might get off work at, like, if I work 3 to, I was working 3 to 11, so I would probably go to the gym before I went to work. Or even if I was working day shift, maybe go in a half an hour after, you know, like traffic is crazy. Well, let me just go in and go ahead on it and go to the gym, work out or whatever. And then I found out that that became a part of my habitual behavior. So I started creating, you know, a certain pattern that conditioned myself to where this became like my normal routine. And somehow or another, I found a way to get in there. And then the other thing is I was leading by example. I mean, my son saw me in there, you know, working out or the way I was eating, taking protein, taking vitamins or whatever. So he got an interest in that. And I think that we have to understand that, you know, especially in this type of situation, we have to lead by example. And I go back to our basic mindset. And then for people who don't know, working out is probably, or some type of strenuous exercise is a great stress reliever. I mean, there's been times where I have been, like, on the edge, and just being able to go in, maybe get on the treadmill, you know, lift a couple weights for 30 minutes or so, completely annihilated the degree of stress that I was feeling, and I just feel good. Because the other thing that what we have to realize is that the body was designed to be in some type of motion. I mean, you know what I mean? And if it's not in motion, then it's pretty much deteriorating, you know. So when the body is doing what it's designed to do, your blood flow is better. I mean, the circulation, your mind, everything is working at, like what Harriet was talking about, Henrietta was talking about, optimal levels. and this is what we have to do. I mean, it even allows you to be even better and more proficient at work when you are just moving or and your body has just been in some type of physical activity to whereas you just feel that you're just not out of breath. Walk, you can maybe jog up the steps instead of dreading walking up them and then just being out of breath. I mean, you know, so like I said, it just really goes back to our mindset. I have another caller. Let me see. No, that's the same one. So Henrietta, did you want to, because I know we had talked also about stress relief too. We had kind of touched on that. So did you want to interject something regarding
Well, you know, the stress, I think you're right about, you know, working out, and that's like the final frontier for me.
But meditation, though, too.
I do a lot of meditation, and mm-hmm. just taking a few minutes. I mean, we're not talking about sitting on the mat for 3 hours, but just getting up 10 or 15 minutes earlier
mm-hmm.
in the morning and just sitting there and clearing your mind and being
right.
grateful. I mean, gratitude is such a benefit when we, you know, sometimes I'll start at the top of my head. I say, I love my hair.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so thankful for my hair, my eyes, my nose. And when we start to really see the wonders of ourselves,
mm-hmm.
I mean, who's going to be upset? There's nothing to be upset about.
Yeah. And that's where, I mean, that's how I felt, too. And some people might say, oh, you're vain. I said, if people consider me loving who I am, accepting who I am, and being able, if I'm wrong, to be able to sit in a quiet room and enjoy what's going on in my head, then let me be wrong. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Just like you're saying, now, how much does it cost to sit still for 15 minutes? You know what I mean? But the rewards of, like you're saying, of just allowing your body to just calm down and just deep breathing. I mean, these are things that we can do on a daily basis. And I think, you know, now I'm a big believer of exercising and everything like that, but I also studied the martial arts. And I can definitely tell you that meditation, learning how to quiet the because you know, like living in New York, Chicago, L.A., everybody, that, you know, sometimes I think certain stresses are just self-induced because everybody else around us is saying they got to be here at a certain time. So all of a sudden, we buy into that, whereas we could just slow down a little bit and just, you know, allow ourselves to kind of like live in a calm state. That'll help tremendously, you know what I mean? I remember and being in Manhattan on 42nd, and I was visiting somebody, a friend of mine, and just everybody, we were getting ready to go down to the subway. So all of a sudden, everybody just started running. I was like, did somebody pull out a gun or something? But they were just running to get on the train, and I was just chill out, walking or whatever. And what happened was, they down there huffing and puffing and everything. And I just walked, and we all got on the train together. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And, you know, you're in the city, so it ain't like if you miss one train, ain't no train coming for another 2 weeks or something like that.
Right.
So it's just really about calming down when you can and understanding how critical that is.
Right. Right, 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 right. And, you know, as my father would say, you know, we're not going to get out of this alive.
Everybody got a round trip ticket.
You know, it's just, it doesn't work like that. And so, you know, what can I say?
Well, let me see. We got a few more. We still got some. The lines are still open, ladies and gentlemen. Do you have anything else you would like to interject? Any thoughts? Any stories? Any remedies, you know what I mean? Some secrets that might have helped you that you want to share with us? Or?
Yeah, I had another thing I wanted to throw out there. I think a lot of people get discouraged about exercise because in their mind they think they have to spend a lot of money to do it. You know, some people get overwhelmed when they think about signing up for a gym membership or something along that nature. Some people feel they have to invest in exercise equipment in their home, like buy a treadmill, that kind of thing. And, you know, a lot of people are financially strapped, and I don't discourage any of those things. But I feel that sometimes we have to go back to just being able to make the most of what we already have. Like myself, I can't afford a gym membership or invest in a lot of exercise equipment. But, you know, I have two legs. I walk, you know, taking the stairs, walk into the store rather than feeling I got to jump in somebody's car, you know, to get there or taking a cab. I mean, up here in Minnesota, it gets really cold in the wintertime.
Yeah.
But I've learned that sometimes even getting out in the cold is still good for you. Just being out for a few minutes to get some fresh air and walk around. I think if we can encourage people to do something as simple as, okay, if you do own a home and you have a finished basement or a big living room, just being able to do simple exercises like push-ups and jumping jacks and sit-ups, and, you know, right in the living room. I mean, there are a lot of physically fit people that work out in the privacy of their own homes, and they don't have any kind of equipment at home. I think another thing, too, is families working out together at home. You know, dad or mom huddle the kids together. Okay, we're going to work out for 15 or minutes or a half hour and stuff. And it's a family, not only helping them get fit, but it's a time for the family to do something together. You know, there was a time, you know, we didn't have all this exercise equipment. We didn't have LA Fitnesses and Bally's and stuff around. And people used to simply work out at home or go on walks together. And I think that that has diminished almost in our society. And then, of course, television, it's with all the ads trying to pro people to invest in this and invest in that. And again, there is nothing wrong with having a gym membership. And, you know, if you can afford, you know, investing in a treadmill or other equipment like a Bowflex or something, do it. I don't look down on any of those things. But I feel that and people I talk to and people that I observe, they get so frustrated about, oh, you know, I want to work out, I want to do this, but feel like the only means to do it is to go to a YWCA or invest in all kinds of equipment and stuff. I think it's just as simple as being able to do what you can at home.
I can tell you, I'm a former member of Goals, Bally's, 24-Hour Fitness, and probably another one I can't remember right off the top of my head, even the sports club. But some of the most challenging exercises that I've ever done has been the good old push-up. You know what I mean? Just on the ground, working with, you know, just doing it at different rates. And I got a mat here and, you know, just some sit-ups. The main thing is about having a consistent routine at the end of the day. And, you know, so you're right, though. Everybody can't afford gym memberships or whatever, but definitely you can work this, a chair. You'd be surprised what you can do with a chair, a little mat from Walmart or something like that, and a space to be able to get down there and do some push-ups and sit-ups, you know what I mean? And the meditation, the diet, and all that. If we implement a system of doing certain things, at, you know, on a consistent basis, that in and of itself would help us, because we basically implemented a system on how to be unhealthy. We've been a lot of people have been very successful at that. I mean, you know what I mean? So it's really about rethinking and just re-engineering how we look at today's society and how we look at ourselves, and how we can take these countermeasures to
maintain some degree of health so we can be able to enjoy the time that we have here until, you know, it's like you said, we all going to go. We all got a round-trip ticket, but we don't have to spend half of it in the hospital waiting. You know what I mean? We could just be out enjoying and just doing the things that we need to do in order to stay healthy.
Well, great, great. I would love if everybody could have a closing remark.
I think that was mine, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think
you know,
so.
This segment has been so interesting. I think all of us, we were so engaged in it that it feels like the time just flew. And I want to thank Mario and Henrietta for facilitating this discussion, given Karima Ali's absence. I think you guys really gave some wonderful input on this subject. Henrietta, I'm happy to hear you coming back to the Atlanta, Georgia area.
Right there.
Yeah, so thank you. I just wanted to thank you for really opening this up because this is really important yet serious stuff here. I mean, life is short. We only have one life, and we really have to go back to taking care of ourselves.
Well, I think that, and thank you so much. I have just been passionate about health and wellness for over 30 years and just have, you know, gone to all kind of programs and everything. And I want to share that information. And so I'm looking for outlets to really get with people and, you know, education is always a two-way thing because the teacher is learning this, you know, from the students. But we've got to do a fast forward. We've got a lot of work to do in this area, a lot, because our businesses cannot continue if we don't have healthy employees. If we're not healthy, you work hard, you don't take care of yourself, and then, you know, you kick the bucket, or you have to spend up all your money in the hospital.
Yeah.
So we have... you know, we have a lot, and I really, really appreciate, you know, Karima giving us the opportunity to have this dialogue.
Definitely, definitely, definitely. Now, who is 651?
Hi, this is Janora.
All right, so would you like to have a, leave us with a closing statement, observation?
Yes, I really did enjoy the discussion, and I really do appreciate Mario for you stepping in. And the discussion was interesting. Yes, I do own a membership for life at Bally's. I bought it back in 1980, and I have not yet used it. Yes, I do agree on that part. But the show was excellent, and thank you for everybody to join in. And I really appreciate it.
All right. Okay. So I guess we got 1 minute left, and I'd like to thank everyone for coming to the show, participating. I was a little nervous at first because I'm kind of out of my element, but actually I'm not because I'm really big on health, and I just love just when everything is working the way it needs to be working. And I used to be 133 pounds, so I had to kind of like change my whole body structure around. So I definitely see how it's helpful. And I've been able to do some personal training and help people with injuries. And a lot of it has been diet and supplementation. So I do know it works versus, you know, just trying to take a bunch of medication and everything. So anyway, I'd like to thank everybody for coming to the show. And hopefully we'll see you guys again next week. I don't know what the topic will be, but I'm pretty sure it'll be amazing because Karima runs an incredible show. There's always a wealth of information that you get. And it's very impressive. So hopefully you guys will, we'll see you next week. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Okay. Bye-bye.